Welcome to the Badger Basketball Postgame Show.
You always give me so much to talk about.
Brought to you by J&K Security Solutions. From home theaters to smart lighting to a universal home control, go online to jksecurity.com. Coming up, we'll break down tonight's game. Go inside the locker room with members of the Badger coaching staff. Plus, hear from you on the talk and text line at 414-799-1973.
That's playing through some contact.
So close, but yet so far for the Wisconsin Badgers in the first round of the Big Ten tournament tonight as they fall 65-57 to Ohio State. And their NCAA tournament hopes are probably on life support as we speak. We'll get to that and so much more on the J&K Security Solutions postgame show. I'm Hunter Baumgart, joined as usual by David Gasper, and also joined this evening by Doug Russell, who is live at the United Center in Chicago. Looking forward to talking to you both for the next 45 minutes, hour, however long we want to. And also the text line, it's you, 414-799-1973. Your thoughts on this Badgers loss. They were down by 18, and they made such a comeback in the second half to make this thing close, because all they do, David, is they play close games, and they had to make it close at the end, didn't they?
They had to, and you know, I really kind of wish this game had ended within 5 points. Exactly what I thought it was going to end up being. They made it close. They got right there. They got within four. And, you know, they did a really good job getting back into the game. I mean, they did quite the job getting themselves out of the game in the first place. But I think this is going to be especially helpful as, you know, you look at the NCAA tournament hopes. And, you know, there's, you know, Greg Gard was saying maybe there's a chance that, you know, that they think that they can get in anyways, even if they lose here tonight. And, you know, Brian Butch has been talking about, you know, maybe they could get in, you know, even if they don't have to win a game in the tournament. When they were down by 27, it's like, I think that's not what anyone had in mind, but they made it close so that it's going to be at least somewhat respectable when the selection committee looks at this game and looks at Wisconsin's resume. Because if they ended with a loss by 27, you know, then that's going to sting a whole lot more than losing by 8.
Right, exactly. And it looks a lot better on paper, too. And Doug, you obviously saw it firsthand there and saw the energy it looked like and sounded like it just got put back into the place by the Badger fans about halfway through that second half when they kind of realized, okay, they're making a comeback here.
Yeah, they were making a comeback. Ohio State also had trouble making their shots, just like Wisconsin had trouble making shots in the first half and through the first, you know, 6 or 7 minutes of the second half as well. And, you know, you kind of steel yourself to the fact that, okay, this game is really getting out of hand when Wisconsin is down by 27 points in the second half, and then they just start to chip away at it little by little, and Ohio State goes ice cold from the field. Wisconsin makes a couple of shots, and it's just like in baseball, the old adage that hitting is contagious, well, so is making shots, and the Badgers started to make some shots, and they started to clamp down on defense. They start playing with more energy, too. What we saw in the first half was pretty lethargic basketball, to be perfectly honest with you, and I'm sure that Greg Gard is going to be talking about that when we hear from him in his post-game news conference as well, because they just didn't play with a whole lot of energy in that first half. They missed a lot of shots, a lot of layups, a lot of three-pointers. They didn't make their first three-pointer until 26 minutes into the game. That's not winning basketball, and yet still in the last 2 minutes of this ballgame, the last 3 minutes of this ballgame, it was not a foregone conclusion that Ohio State was going to come away with this win. This could have very well gone in the last couple of minutes the other way if Wisconsin had just made a couple more shots and made a couple more stops.
Yeah, that's very true. 414-799-1973 is the phone number. Get in touch with us via text or via call. And you talk about the shot making. I mean, the Badgers, you know, had double the amount of field goals in the second half that they did in the first. They made just 7 shots in that first half, made 14 in the second half. They only, they shot 37%. It wasn't this dramatic increase. But their defense in that second half, David, was, I mean, locked down for most of that second half. They went on the 19-2 run. Ohio State was missing shots, sure, but they were also forcing turnovers.
Yeah, 9 turnovers by Ohio State in the second half. And, yeah, they were able to, you know, get back to Wisconsin basketball, you know, kind of there. You know, mm-hmm. They were up 39-29 in second half scoring. So, I mean, they were able to chip away. But, yeah, you're getting the shots in. Tyler Wall really kind of took over. But, yeah, the defense doing what it needed to do, forcing turnovers, forcing bad shots. And, you know, that's what they've needed the whole game. You know, you put yourself in such a hole in the first half that, you know, even when you play that well in the second half, that there's not enough time, there's not enough scoring you can make to dig out of it. It was too deep of a hole that they dug themselves in that first half. I mean, you can get all the turnovers that you want, but it just wasn't going to be enough when you're in that deep of a hole to start.
Yeah, it's just a little too late. Doug, what did you think of Tyler Wahl? You know, you brought that up, David, and Tyler Wahl's performance in that second half, because he had almost nearly every point that he had today. He had 19. I think 17 of those did come in the second half, and he was all over the court. I was just impressed by the leadership and toughness in that second half by Tyler Wahl, because he was diving for loose balls, doing everything he could to get that team back into it. I think the rest of the team fed off of him.
Well, and they had to, because, like you said, you pointed out, he only scored 2 points on 1-of-4 shooting in the first half, and he played 17 minutes, pretty much a non-factor in that first half. And then you look at a guy like Ohio State's Bruce Thornton, who had 15 points in the first half. I'm sorry, 15 overall in the first half, but 13 of those in the second half. I mean, it's the polar opposite of both of those players. And I know that you know, Tyler Wahl obviously wasn't guarding Bruce Thornton. They don't play the same position, of course, but, you know, as one player goes, sometimes you see the fall off on another player. But with Tyler Wahl, we saw it during the season. How important was Tyler Wahl to this team when they went into that swoon about midway through the season when he was out? I mean, I think that kind of crystallizes just how much he means to this Badgers basketball team. I don't know that I would say, as Tyler Wahl goes, so go the Wisconsin Badgers, but I'm not sure that I wouldn't say that either, just based on what we've seen all season long. And maybe tonight was a microcosm of the entire basketball season for Tyler specifically.
Yeah, and I'm hoping, you know, even tonight, I think it also puts an exclamation point on the fact that you want him back next year. You really do, because sure, he could take even another step, you know, in this basketball program, and looking forward to that. And we'll look towards next year a little bit later in the show as well. We'll hear from Greg Gard too. And David, in that second half, you know, did you see anything different? I know, you know, Chucky Hepburn was struggling. He was able to get that three to go down late, and it was kind of like, finally, I think, you know, they made some of those shots late in that second half, and it was just kind of like, all right, you know, this is getting real. And it was more kind of a deep breath that they could take for the first time in the game, because some of those shots were going down and Wahl off the glass and all that.
Yeah, that's something that's, you know, really kind of, you know, befuddled them there in the first half, and being able to get things going there. Get some offensive rebounds as well. I mean, that's something that they really have kind of struggled in all season, and being able to get the offensive rebounds to really kind of keep themselves in this, give themselves more second chances and get some points off of that. Outscoring Ohio State 15-5 in the second chance points category. So that really kind of helped kept them in it. When they were struggling to make some shots, being able to get the rebounds and put them back in and just give themselves more opportunities.
Let's go out to the Talk and Text Line, 414-799-1973 in the PellaWI.com Talk and Text Line. That is where Rick is, and he's calling us from Chicago. And Rick, were you at the game tonight or just observing there in Chicago?
Well, I'm sorry to say I'm just observed on my couch. I just didn't have confidence in the team, and I'm a lazy Badger fan, what can I say? But I do have three quick observations.
Sure.
That I was hoping you guys could comment on. One, I think the committee, I'm not holding out much hope for a tournament bid. I mean, if my arithmetic's correct, this team has lost, what, six? They're 6-12 in the last 18 games. I mean, that's pretty bad. But my other two points, number one, maybe you guys have the sheet in front of you, but I hate to pin it on one play, but the Badgers had incredible momentum. We're making an incredible comeback, and I think Max Klesmet missed a shot that would have pulled him within two with like 2 or 3 minutes left. He missed that shot, and oh my God, he hits that shot. I really think the Badgers.
Yeah, you're right, Rick. Yeah, it was a minute. It was about a minute 40 left. He missed the three. They were down 5. And if he makes that three, it's a 2-point game.
And they had all the momentum. I mean, they were in the middle of a huge swing. And I really think that was a critical point. I don't mean to just focus on one play. But I guess my question is, It's my understanding, you know, if they're going to bring in a couple, hopefully impact players from the portal, they have to clear some space. They really don't have two open scholarships to give to portal players. I wondered if you could do the math for me and maybe tell me if that's right or wrong, because I really think they need a three and a big guy. I know they got some recruits coming in, but they need some portal help.
Sure. Yeah, Rick, appreciate the phone call as usual. I think it's going to be interesting with the portal, right? I mean, right, you only have a certain amount of scholarships and roster spots, and you have guys coming in. You know, Gus Yeldon, as you know, it kind of highlights that class coming in. Doug, any thoughts there on the transfer portal coming up?
Well, Greg Gard already talked about the transfer portal, and he said, look, and this was, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago when things weren't going well for the Badgers at that point, and he was like, look, I'm not an idiot. I'm paraphrasing. I'm not an idiot. I know that we have to get better, and we're going to use the portal as we need to use the portal, and, you know, you've got some players that you know aren't going to be on scholarship next season. I don't think Jacoby Neath, you know, is you know, you can use that spot for him. Tyler Wall can come back. I think that he will come back. I don't look at Tyler Wall as an NBA player, so it would behoove him to come back, even though he's a senior, and all of these seniors can come back, but you have to look at who's taking up a roster spot right now that isn't contributing, and you know, maybe you can use one of those spots for a player that is someone who is contributing. Remember, you know, your scholarship isn't a four-year scholarship. It's renewed every single year. Mm-hmm. And if you don't earn that spot on the team, it's going to go to somebody else. And this team does need an infusion of talent. Greg Gard knows it. Greg Gard has talked about it. Fans have seen it. I mean, you don't have to be a basketball genius to know that there are some deficiencies on this team. And even with the some of the players in the starting lineup, you would hope that Chucky Hepburn, who I still think is an elite on-ball defender at point guard, you know, he took a step back on his offense this season, and maybe that security blanket of Brad Davison a year ago and the team's security blanket of Johnny Davis a year ago maybe covered up some of his offensive deficiencies that couldn't be covered up this season. We talked about Tyler Wall before when he went down about midway through the year. That's when this team really started to struggle, and I don't know that they were ever able to climb themselves out of that struggle. I mean, this is a team, I mean, if you want to go back all the way to early December, this is a team that beat Marquette. Marquette, the surprise team in college basketball this year, and Wisconsin beat them earlier in the season. So, it's hard to say who's going to want to transfer out and who's going to want to go play somewhere else, and there's probably going to be a couple of players from Wisconsin that are going to test their, you know, the waters in the transfer portal as well. It's difficult to say right now because you don't really start to hear some of those rumblings until, you know, the player has already entered himself into the portal. So there will be some movement, but there is every year. And, you know, it's a long way to say it, I realize, but yes, there's going to be some different faces on this team next year without question, and many of them are going to come from the said portal, even though the Badgers don't necessarily use that as much as some other schools may.
Right, right. And they haven't used it as much in the past as other schools have. That is Doug Russell. He is live at the United Center at the Big Ten Tournament. You can hear Nebraska taking on Minnesota there in the background. Dave Gasper alongside here as this is the J&K Security Solutions postgame show. From home security to automation, J&K Security Solutions has you covered. Go to jksecurity.com for more info. Taking your texts and calls at 414-799-1973. That is the phone number. Going to get to Ben Wergel. He's going to give us a call as well. His thoughts on this Badgers loss to Ohio State, 65-57. We'll also hear from Greg Gard and possibly some of the players as well. All that coming up as we continue. I'm Hunter Baumgart. This is the J&K Security Solutions postgame show.
J&K Security Solutions. From home security to automation, J&K Security Solutions has you covered. Go to jksecurity.com for more info.
J&K Security Solutions postgame show continues. I'm Hunter Baumgart alongside Dave Gasper, and Doug Russell is at the United Center where the Badgers fell 65-57 in the opening round of the Big Ten Tournament tonight to the Ohio State Buckeyes. Ohio State will play Iowa coming up tomorrow, and Wisconsin's tourney hopes Not looking good. Not looking good. We'll get to some of the scenarios, but a lot of things kind of have to go their way in order to get in. So we might be looking at other postseason routes as well. So we'll get to all of that coming up. First, we'll quickly go out to the PellaWI.com talk and text line, 414-799-1973. That's where Ken of the Falls is calling in. Ken, how are you tonight?
Fabulous. I would have loved to have seen the Badgers pull off a win here and potentially get themselves into the field of 68, as they like to call it now. But the reality is that, you know, and you've seen this team from the start, they were sluggish. They had many issues going on. You know, they scored a minimal amount of points in the first half. And they just seemed like a team that didn't want it, right? And then the second half comes, and they come back from 27, and they play a whale of a ball game, only to not have enough gas in the tank to win. So when you look at the season, it was a season of could've, would've, should've's, right? They started out fabulous. They did a lot of good things early on, but they couldn't sustain and move forward, and a lot of teams figured them out. Yes, they lost a lot of close games, but in the end, they weren't able to overcome their shortcomings as a team. And with that being said, you know, last caller is, you know, talking about the portal and this and that. Providing McIntosh keeps guard on, and all indications are he's going to, from what I understand. He's going to keep him on. He's not looking at this point in time to make a change. This is going to be an interesting scenario, because if you see the way the team is set up right now, they're very small.
Yeah.
And they do not have good lane presence at all. So you can't just rely on three-point shooting. You're going to have to get some bigs in there that can pound and move guys around, because the Big Ten is very physical. So if you can't get those guys in, it's going to be a tough scenario for guard next year. So
sure.
What's the answer, right? Recruiting, whatever. But I think the portal is the only answer at this point in time, because if this team's going to be prolific, you've got to get some bigs in there. And will they make the tournament this year? I got to be honest. They probably get less than a 20% chance.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Appreciate the phone call, Ken. Got to run. But, yeah, so, you know, they do have Gus Yaldin coming in, David. And I think that's obviously going to be a 6'8 center. They do need presence inside. I mean, that was a struggle this season.
Yeah, and they've lacked depth there. I mean, really, all season. I mean, the only guy outside of Stephen Crowell and Tyler Wall that could play down there is Carter Gilmore. I mean, outside of that, I mean, you've seen some of Marcus Silver, but he still has a ways to go, a lot more to do in the weight room. There wasn't any really reliable depth at those positions, and that's really kind of been the case across the board for this team. They don't have much depth. I mean, you've got your starters. And, you know, it's a solid group of starters there. But outside of that, what are you really getting off the bench? Connor Sejan was what they were getting off the bench earlier in the season. Then he moved into the starting role when Jordan Davis kind of struggled to get things going. And Davis, you know, he sometimes hits some big shots, but he's still not really providing a whole lot of points. Had 7 points tonight, though. But, I mean, then you got, you know, Kamari McGee, who has sometimes added some sparks. Isaac Lindsay played a couple of minutes. But that's really about it. There wasn't much coming from the bench, and there really hasn't been all season with this team. You got your starting five, and that's really who they have to roll with pretty much the whole time to stay in some of these games and be able to win them. And that's kind of been why they're playing in such close games all year long.
And like you said, you know, it comes down to it's we'll see what obviously happens over this offseason. I think it's also going to be big for this team to get more mature and to have a year under their belt like this. I think, you know, everybody, like we mentioned, everybody can come back, including Tyler Wall. So if you get all of those guys back again next year, I think you get even a better product just because they get another year of practice under their belt. The guy at the helm, Greg Gard, let's hear from him. He was just speaking to the media moments ago at the United Center in Chicago. So let's go there now and listen to Greg Gard's post-game press conference.
Start here in the second row. Craig, you talked about the defense, and you said you let Ohio State get comfortable. Mm-hmm. What do you think you guys did not do defensively that allowed them to get some early looks that they had?
Yeah, I thought we weren't physical enough, part of it. And when you allow a team to shoot 68%, that obviously tells you. And also at times through the half, we had no fouls. You know, we went pretty deep into that half without fouling. That told me that we're not physical enough. We were not up into the ball enough. You know, we didn't stop dribble penetration on a couple drives to the rim. And, you know, they get a couple easy baskets. And then the step backs and the things that Thornton and Sensabaugh, and we same side helped twice off Suing and gave him a three and then fouled him on the other one. You know, those are things that, you know, just give them more confidence. And when you're trying to battle back and you've given them, you know, that many opportunities to get feeling good about themselves, second half I thought we were much more physical. You know, and approached it more like we should have from the beginning.
Go all the way on the left.
Greg, what did you try to say to them in the first half to try and just settle down, kind of get some of that tenseness out? Because it looked like it kind of compounded a few times where it just spiraled a little bit.
Yeah, I thought we looked really hesitant. I thought we looked, you know, just some looks on some guys' faces that I haven't seen in terms of, I think the biggest thing was just be more aggressive, you know, on both ends of the floor. And like I mentioned with the question with Jeff, we talked about that in a few of those huddles that we don't have any fouls yet. We can be more physical, more aggressive, you know, get up into the ball more. And in the second half, we did it. I thought we got, you know, McGee gave us a boost by doing some of that. Jordan Davis did that. You know, Gilmore was active, and we were more assertive in the second half and kind of got them on their heels. Much like they did to us in the first half too. And the same thing with the pressure and the, you know, we threw the ball away. We didn't handle some two simple overplays. And that told me we were hesitant and tentative. And they were the more aggressive team in the first 20.
We'll go all the way on the right-hand side.
Greg, just same thing I asked the guys. You guys bring back almost everyone from the rotation. Just what could you take away from this game, just the whole season?
Well, there's been a lot of lessons that haven't been pleasant to go through that these guys have experienced. That's what I talked about afterwards, that we have to be able to use these to our advantage, no matter what happens, you know, the rest of this year and then spinning forward. But we're more focused on this year right now. But we obviously have maturing to do in some of these areas, and we've seen that. I think that's the one thing with younger teams is the inconsistency, and we change colors right within a game. You know, today's a good example of being put on our heels in the first half and then finally, you know, getting back to who we need to be and who we need to be good in the second half. So that's always a challenge as a younger group, to have them understand that and always approach it that way, and it usually comes more natural and more consistent with older guys. So that's something that we've got to continue to – I got to help them with it, you know, and leadership has to grow organically within. And that'll be – there's a lot of, you know, hurtful lessons this year that we've had to go through that have stung, that we have to bottle and use to our advantage.
We'll go on the left side.
Along that same line, when you look at a season that had an extraordinary number of close finishes, and you had some good wins, you had some frustrating nights, what has this ride been like for you personally to go through the ups and downs, what you guys have gone through?
Yeah, I mean, I've enjoyed this group. They have given us everything they've had. You know, I can't ask for any more of an effort in what they've done. And as a coach, that's all you – when you have your kids play hard and they play hard for you, that's – you know, the ball doesn't go in some nights. You have some frustrating – you know, halves or segments of games. But this group has continued to come back and want to learn and want to get better. And, you know, they've been, like I said, they've been fun to coach. It's just been a lot of, you know, frustrating results at times. And I can't say that I didn't see this coming in terms of just things we had to grow through. And the only way you grow through it is you have to go through it. And adversity and some of those adjectives that, you know, align with that are most often our best teachers. They have to go through it and understand how important you name it is in order to be a good team, be a good consistent team. So You know, for me and our staff, just trying to help them see that, help them through it, and then help leadership continue to blossom and grow within the locker room.
Right.
There you go. That is Greg Gard talking just moments ago at the post-game press conference at the United Center. Badgers fall 65-57 tonight to the Ohio State Buckeyes. J&K Security Solutions post-game show. J&K Security Solutions can give you the power you never thought possible. Learn how J&K can integrate your world. Visit jksecurity.com. Tyler Wall led the Badgers with 19 points. He's David Gasper, Doug Russell with us at the United Center. When we come back, we are going to be talking to Ben Wergel. He covers the Badgers for Rivals.com. He'll be giving us a call. Looking forward to getting his perspective as we have throughout the season on this Badgers loss. We'll continue to get to your texts and calls on the Talk and Text line, 414-799-1973. He's David, and there's Doug. I'm Hunter Baumgart. This is the J&K Security Solutions postgame show.
Security!
J&K Security Solutions can give you the power you never thought possible. Learn how J&K can integrate your world.
We have a security breach.
Visit jksecurity.com.
J&K Security Solutions postgame show continues. Wisconsin falls tonight to Ohio State 65-57. And the Badgers, a one and done in the Big Ten tournament. I'm Hunter Baumgart. He's David Gasper, Doug Russell at the United Center as well. And right now we are going to go right out to the Talk and Text line and get in Ben Wergel, who joins us now, covers the Badgers for Rivals.com. You've heard him all season long. And on this postgame show, we've loved his insight on the postgame show throughout, and looking forward to getting his insight here tonight after this loss. So Ben, appreciate the time. Follow him on Twitter at the Badger Nation. And Ben, question first for you. You know, they're down 18 at half, and then they're down 27, and then they make this a, you know, 4-point game late. What were your thoughts as we headed down the stretch there?
It would have been kind of sweet poetry for Wisconsin after they nearly blew an 18-point lead in Columbus to storm back from 27 points down to steal this one. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, they just put themselves in too deep of a hole. This was a team that really all season long isn't built for these gigantic comebacks. I mean, Wisconsin hasn't won a game this year where they've trailed by more than 9 points, and that was against Lehigh in December. They haven't won a Big Ten against a Big Ten opponent where they've trailed by more than 7. So, you know, you get down by 27 and you think that, you know, this could get really ugly. And, you know, you have to give this team credit. You know, say what you want about the talent on the roster, say what you want about some of the execution, decision-making, and crucial moments. This team didn't pack it in at any point this year. They kept coming back. They kept grinding. And to get it down to 4 points with about, you know, just over 2 minutes to go, you know, it kind of made you go, wow, this would be something. And, you know, they had a couple looks. Klesman had a great look from the top of the perimeter. Didn't fall. Hepburn had a good look from the elbow, and it didn't fall. And, you know, that just kind of speaks to kind of the season that Wisconsin's had, right? They've been in close games at the end. They've had opportunities, and they just didn't get the critical play to fall. But really what went wrong was the first 20 minutes where Wisconsin played tense. They played, you know, they didn't play aggressive enough, and Ohio State, who's playing with nothing to lose, was the aggressor, and, you know, it served them well to advance in this tournament.
Yeah, Ohio State shooting 68% in the first half. I mean, there's no real coming back from that. They were shooting the lights out there. 15 of 22 from the field, Ohio State. And, you know, on top of Wisconsin's offense not being able to do that much, I mean, they're shooting 30%. It wasn't horrible. It wasn't great, but it wasn't horrible. But Ohio State just shooting the lights out. They couldn't get a stop.
It felt horrible, to be honest with you, kind of watching it. It didn't feel pretty by any stretch of the imagination. And, you know, I think Greg Gard said best in his post-game conference with the media is that, you know, Wisconsin only had 4 fouls in the first half. That just showed him that the Badgers weren't getting the shooters. They're making it too easy. They weren't being aggressive enough. They weren't defending aggressively enough. and they let Ohio State get comfortable. And, you know, not just 68%, you know, they were 11 of 15 on 2-point shots. They barely got to the free throw line, and they were timely from the perimeter. They were 4-7 from the perimeter. So it was all these different things that just were raining down on Wisconsin. You know, Ohio State made 9 field goals in a row. I think Wisconsin had 7 total field goals in the first half. So it was just one of those things where no one really could get going offensively. I think that some of the shot selections was porous. You know, there wasn't, you know, very aggressiveness on the glass. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong for Wisconsin in that first 20 minutes. And, you know, it was funny, you know, Greg said yesterday that really in Big Ten play, there was only 2 bad halves of basketball, like really bad halves of basketball Wisconsin has played. The second half at Indiana, the second half at Nebraska. And I was just thinking to myself, I think I even tweeted that Wisconsin picked a heck of a time for number 3 because nothing looked good. Nothing was flowing. And, you know, the second half they played, you know, tenfold better. But again, it was too deep of a hole down 18 and eventually down 27 with, you know, 4:20 gone in the second half that you just knew that it was going to take something Herculean for them to get back from.
Right. And once you get down by that much, you take, you know, they went on a 19-2 run and it still wasn't enough because that's just how much they were down by. Talking to Ben Wergel here on the J&K Security Solutions postgame show, follow him on Twitter at TheBadgerNation. Question about Tyler Wall. He said it here in the postgame press conference that I just saw that he said they didn't come out with enough urgency there in the first half. Well, he came out personally with a lot of urgency, it felt like, in that second half. How about that? It felt like the team kind of fed off of him. I feel like he was a big reason why the team was able to do what they were able to do in that second half.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think he may have had a little bit of a soul-searching moment at halftime where, you know, this potentially could be the last game of his Wisconsin career. And, you know, he's went out with 2 points on 4 shots and 1 rebound in the first half and in 17 minutes. I think it just kind of said that if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out swinging. And he was aggressive, you know, 17 points, 9 rebounds, nearly a double-double in the second half alone, and very efficient with his shooting too, 17 points on 12 shots. I know he missed a couple free throws, but he did, you know, get lucky with a banked-in 3-pointer that kind of gave Wisconsin a little bit of life after hitting 3 threes on 3 consecutive possessions to kind of get some energy back in the building, was something that was sorely needed after what felt like just a sleepy 30 minutes of basketball. I thought he played well, and I thought you saw guys start to feed off that a little bit, but they didn't get nearly enough from the guard play. You know, Asijan 4 of 13, Klesman 0 for 3, Hepburn 2 of 9. I thought the bench gave some good minutes. I thought, you know, Jordan Davis did some really good things. I thought Carter Gilmore chewed up a lot of minutes when Stephen Crowell wasn't playing very well. I thought Kamari McGee ran the point fairly efficiently. Just the starting guards just did not give Wisconsin enough momentum here to really kind of carry things through. I know Asijan has a pretty good stat line, 11 points, 8 rebounds, but you know, 1 of 7 from 3. He passed on some open threes. He missed some shots he normally makes. Just kind of a rough night from the guard perspective. And if your 2 best 3-point shooters can, you know, hit, you know, their averages around 35-40% of the shots, I think it's a different ballgame. You know, those two went a combined 2 of 13 from the perimeter.
Yeah, and, you know, Chucky Hepburn, you know, really with the rough night there, as you mentioned, and he ended up, you know, sitting for a decent chunk there in the second half, just 12 minutes of action in the second half. I mean, he wasn't shooting the best. I get it. But, you know, he was out for quite an extended period of time. What was it just, do you think it was just him being cold? Or was, you know, Greg Gard just kind of looking to get something different and just getting Hepburn out of there for a while?
I think Jordan Davis and Kamari McGee were playing better. I thought Jordan was aggressive with his defense. I thought that he gave Wisconsin some life on some of those possessions. You know, they were making their charge with him on the floor. I think Kamari McGee has played with a steadiness to him for the most part over the course of the last month. I think Hepburn is ready for an offseason personally. I think this has been a very difficult year for him. I think it's been hard for him making the transition from role player to the alpha. I know he's worked on his shot, he's worked on his game, but he's gone through so many valleys and in my opinion, very few peaks this year that it's been taxing on him with so much put on his shoulders that I think he was forcing the issue a little bit. And I think, you know, Greg sat him down and then he saw the team start to make a comeback and, you know, why rock the boat here when things are kind of sailing along and you're you're seeing the reserves start to get Wisconsin back in the game. You know, Hepburn came in later after he had a long rest and after the reserves were pretty much running on fumes, and you know, hit the big shot, hit a big three-pointer to kind of get Wisconsin inching closer. But you know, I think just Chucky Hepburn is in sore need of an offseason and a little bit of a reset. I think he is still the future of this team. He is a solid player. He does a lot of things really, really well. I think he's just had so much on his plate this year that it's kind of bogged him down, and I think tonight was a pretty good example of that.
So, Ben, the question we've been asking after like every game for like 3 weeks now, we come down to it. They've lost in the first round of the Big Ten tournament. You know, coming into this show tonight, I kind of thought pretty much their chances were very dim or slim, I guess would be the right way to put it, for the NCAA tournament. You know, there's still math maybe out there that they could make it in some roundabout way if some other teams lose. But what are your thoughts as we head into what may be a postseason of, you know, an NIT invitation, or maybe if everything breaks right in the next, you know, 4 or 5 days, you know, a Dayton trip on next Tuesday or Wednesday?
Yeah, I honestly don't see a path for them to get into the tournament. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I mean, they said 17-14. I know they've played one of the toughest schedules in the country. That's all well and good, but you need to, it's one thing to play a schedule. It's one thing to play a schedule and win games on that schedule. And 14 losses, in my opinion, is too much, especially when you, you know, finish sub 500 in your league. When you lose your first round of the tournament, your conference tournament, I get that the selection committee looks at the entire body of work, and there's a lot of quad one and quad two wins there, but still Wisconsin is sub 500 in quad one games, and now they're sub 500 in quad two games. This is a quad two game tonight. And you look around the bubble, the teams that the bracketologists are kind of comparing as the last four in or kind of right on the cusp, Penn State, Mississippi State, Michigan, Utah State, Rutgers, Nevada, Oklahoma State, all those teams have a better overall record than Wisconsin, and all those teams are still playing in their conference tournaments. They still, all of them have a better net ranking than Wisconsin. Wisconsin's net ranking is going to be sub 80. It's just not an NCAA tournament profile, especially for a team that hasn't won consecutive games in over 2 months. I think there's too many holes in this resume for them to be an NCAA tournament team, because now they're locked in. This is who they are. They have no more games where they can go out and compete and add to it. This is who the Wisconsin Badgers are. This is what they're putting in front of the committee. And quite frankly, it's not good enough this year. Will they get to the NIT? I'm sure the NIT will look at them. They probably will invite them. Greg Gard was asked about it. He said he hasn't given that much thought. I would imagine they would accept an NIT bid, which is something rare. Wisconsin hasn't played in the NIT since 96, well, which feels like eons ago. I think it would be good for this team to get some more postseason experience. But anyway you cut it, I think from a team that was 11-2 to now 17-14, a very frustrating last couple months for this fan base, especially for that program of players who have a lot more talent than their record indicates.
It's so true. And these close games, it's just been heartbreaker after heartbreaker. You know, you beat Michigan maybe that day if the Dickinson three doesn't go down, or you get a late shot against Purdue, or you beat Northwestern. You know, there's so many of those games that were so close that maybe puts them over the edge.
Nebraska, tonight, you know, you don't blow a 17-point one at Nebraska. You know, Wake Forest early in the year, Wake Forest was the worst loss on their profile. Kansas, you get a better box out against Kansas, and you beat the number one overall seed in the tournament, potentially. You know, again, just you flip one of those results, it might be a different story. You flip two or three, it's definitely a different story.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of, they got all those close wins last year, and this year, you know, it kind of turned their back on them.
Ben, we've appreciated your contributions throughout the season, and if we get to do a show again in the postseason, we'll definitely obviously give you a call, and looking forward to that. But thanks so much for the contributions, and always enjoy hearing your Badgers insight.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
You bet. That is Ben Wergel. Follow him on Twitter at The Badger Nation. Covers the Badgers for Rivals.com. And yeah, it's going to be interesting. Obviously, I'm with him, David. You know, I'm sure you are as well. That the NCAA tournament chances are pretty darn slim as we head into Selection Sunday. We'll see if they, as Greg Gard hasn't given it much thought, we'll see if they do accept the invite and see if how the NIT would go. So we're going to get to Fun Facts with Dave. We for sure will get to that. We'll also kind of wrap things up, look ahead for this team, maybe even look to next year a little bit, bring Doug Russell back in from the United Center as well. Going to pause for 10 seconds quickly before we take our next break. Let's pause 10 seconds, 10 for an ID. This is the JK Security Solutions postgame show. JK Security Solutions, from home theaters to smart lighting to universal home control. Go online at jksecurity.com. He's David Gasper, Doug Russell at the United Center. I'm Hunter Baumgart. You're listening to the JK Security Solutions.
JK Security Solutions, from home theaters to smart lighting to a universal home control. Go online to jksecurity.com.
Badgers fall tonight 65-57 to Ohio State in the first round of the Big Ten tournament in Chicago. And the Badgers are done for the regular season and the Big Ten tournament. Now they await their fate the rest of the week, and most likely not going to make the NCAA tournament. We'll see if they accept an invite to the NIT. I'm alongside David Gasper. Doug Russell is at the United Center with us as well. Let's go out to the talk and text line, 414-799-1973. It's Bob in Oak Creek. Thanks for holding, Bob. How are you?
Good. Well, I'd be better if they would have won the game, obviously, but I just want to compliment you guys. You guys got a good show, and Ben Orgel, by the way, is a great follow on Twitter. I follow him all the time.
Absolutely.
So. Couple things that came to mind. The Wall injury really rocked the continuity of the club. I think a couple things went wrong after that injury to Wall, and I think maybe they lost a little bit of confidence. I never played D1 ball, but I did play at a fairly high level. And when it's not going well, you know, all of a sudden a turnover or two, and you're going, oh, boy, here we go. The floodgates are opening again. My other thought, this is the main reason why I called you, though, I'm on Facebook all the time defending Greg Gard, because there's a lot of idiots out there that are calling for his firing, and I'm like, you know, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I don't know, and I always bring this up on Facebook when I do that, is that I don't think they ever recovered from the loss of Johnny Davis, Matthew Moores, and Carlson. Those two bigs would probably figure quite heavily into the rotation this year if they would have stayed.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Johnny Davis especially. I mean, that was someone that they were not expecting to jump into the NBA in his sophomore season. I mean, no one really kind of saw that coming. They were expecting him to be coming back for his junior year. And,
right.
You know, we've raised this point before. And yeah, like, especially for Davis, you can't just recover and replace a lottery pick like that quickly. You can't just expect it.
And I was really, I really thought Carlson was starting to show some things last year, and I thought, boy, he's going to really help this year.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing, whenever I go on Facebook to defend Gard, I do mention that. I also mention that they got a nice recruiting class coming in next year, so help is on the way. I think Gus is going to be a real factor next year as a freshman. And I also know from playing buckets, and I'm sure you guys have too, so maybe you can relate to that. When you do fall down by 27, you exert so much energy trying to get back that it's really hard to get all the way to the top of the mountain. So I'm proud of the guys. They could have mailed it in at halftime, and it could have been a really ugly game. And if I was the seniors, and I'm not, but if I was, I would opt to play some more and, you know, be able to try to work on some things and go to the NIT if it offers itself.
Sure. Well, appreciate the phone call, Bob, and appreciate the kind words, too. Doug, you know, you obviously hosted this show last year. Your thoughts on, you know, the loss of what they did lose, you know, from last year to this year?
Sure. I guess the only thing that I would disagree with is I think most of us figured that Johnny Davis, if somebody was going to be, I guess, I wouldn't say dumb enough, but it only takes one to give an unproven player that much. But that's the NBA. I can't even say that, because Johnny Davis last year was a National Player of the Year candidate. We all figured, at least I did, and I think most of us on the show figured, that Johnny Davis was going to go pro because there was going to be that one team, turned out to be the Washington Wizards, that would look at this raw player. We all knew that he was raw. But
oh, yeah.
If somebody is going to pay you guaranteed millions of dollars to go pro, you're going to do that, even with the lack of success that he had in the NBA this year. He was a raw player. There's no question about it. But last year's NBA draft wasn't that great. So I think most of us, at least I did, figured that they were going to have to find some answers without their two best players this coming season. You also did figure, though, that Tyler Wahl was going to stay healthy the entire season, which is never a given for anybody. I was listening to the tail end of the Ben Wargle conversation. I had to run downstairs and came back. But to his point about Chucky Hepburn going from a role player to the alpha and really struggling with that, yeah, I don't think any of us kind of figured on that either. That was a struggle that's going to have to be, you know, he's going to have to mature during the offseason. But with Jordan Davis, I think that this season, without his twin brother, he got a chance to flourish a little bit this year, and he had some moments. You want to see that growth continue as well, because I still think that there's a really good college basketball player there. But you have to, if you're going to be an elite basketball program, you're going to have to account for some losses. You're going to, some years, have to account for your two best players leaving. The Badgers had to do that almost a decade ago after they came up just short in the NCAA championship game when they lost Sam Decker and the National Player of the Year, Frank Kaminsky, to the NBA draft. Sometimes you just have to do that. But they also had other players. Bronson Canning was still there. Nigel Hayes came back for another year. So you didn't lose everybody from that championship team, but they lost a lot after last year. I'm not ready to cash in on Greg Gard by any stretch of the imagination. I know that, you know, some fans kind of are, especially considering it seems like the tide is changing a little bit in Madison under Chris McIntosh. Tony Granato had a couple of unsuccessful seasons, several unsuccessful seasons, and we saw what happened to him on Monday. We all know what happened to Paul Chryst, so it seems as though the leash is shorter in Madison than perhaps it once was. Greg Gard should come back next year. He deserves to come back next year. I don't want to hear any more of the nonsense about one bad season is going to get a coach whacked in Madison. I'm just not here for it. I don't buy it. I think it's bad practice. I think it's bad basketball, and I don't think it's going to happen this year, and it shouldn't happen this year.
Yeah, Doug, the point I think Bob and I were trying to make with the, you know, Johnny Davis there is, like, going into that season.
Oh, going into really it, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yes, yeah. 1,000%, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
But by the time this incoming recruiting class was done, that, like, they had no idea that Johnny Davis would go to that. Once we got to February, March, it became clear that's what he was going to be doing.
Okay. But then I misunderstood. I apologize.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but you're going into the season, you're 1,000% right. Nobody saw the season that Johnny was going to have going into that
Once
year.
Once March came around, there was no point for him to try to come back, risk injury, whatever else. Yeah, if you're going to be a lottery pick, go take it. But by the time you get to March, that recruiting class is already completed. And they got a Sejan out of it, but
And I hope that they have. I hope Johnny has a successful NBA career. I know it was a really, really difficult season for him this year. He spent more time in the G League than in the NBA, and you don't want that for a first round draft pick. Certainly, you don't want that for a lottery pick, and you don't want that for a local guy. From La Crosse, went to the University of Wisconsin. You hope that he's successful. Yes, I know you guys.
You guys
in your La Crosse.
Oh yeah.
But, yeah, it was a really, really hard year for him. But then, you know what? Like we were saying all of last year, you know, from, like, February on, if somebody's going to give you that much money to develop as a professional basketball player, god dang, you got to take it. And that's what Johnny did. And the Washington Wizards, whether it will pay off for them or not, I couldn't possibly tell you. I hope it does.
Mm-hmm. I hope it pays off for both sides. Let's go quickly out to Bill in Milwaukee. Bill, you're the final thought here tonight on the JK Security Solutions postgame show.
Hey, how are you guys doing? My question is, all of the Badger sports are sliding. Should Chris talk to Barry and get on track? Because you can't just keep firing coaches and all of that. Something changed since Barry left.
Okay, well, appreciate the call, Bill. Badger sports are sliding.
I don't entirely agree with that.
I don't at all agree with that.
Doug, go ahead.
What are you talking about, Bill? the expectations have changed dramatically in Madison. Barry Alvarez would have never fired Paul Christ when Chris McIntosh did. That was the most un-Wisconsin thing ever. But Wisconsin football had slipped. There's no question that Wisconsin football had slipped. Barry would have never done that. And I'm not knocking Barry. Barry's a legend. Barry has a statue. Barry earned a statue. Barry's Barry. I mean, he's the emperor.
Yeah.
But there's a new regime in town that knows that if you're going to make big swings, if the expectations are going to change, and this isn't a knock on Jim Leonard. Everybody loves Jim Leonard. Jim Leonard's another Wisconsin legend, but Barry probably would have kept on Jim Leonard and not done what Chris McIntosh went out and did and, you know, got the National Coach of the Year and Luke Fickell. Bill, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and then basketball, they won the Big Ten title last year, and as we were just talking about, they lost some big guys, including Johnny Davis, an NBA lottery pick. So when that happens, there's bound to be at least a little bit of regression from one year to the next. Yeah, their scoring's gone. Johnny and Brad Davison, who had been here for 10,000 years, and he finally graduates and loses all of his eligibility. I don't know how he had as much as he did, but anyways, you lose all that leadership and all that scoring, there's bound to be some regression, you know, just from one year to the next. It doesn't mean the program has regressed. I mean, the team from one year to the next is going to go up and down. That's college. Guys graduate, new guys come in. That's how it goes.
And I'm not going to say that Barry wouldn't have fired Tony Granato. I don't know whether he would have or not. I know that the standard of Wisconsin hockey is compete for national championships. Everybody loves Tony Granato. Everybody loves Paul Christ. Everybody loves Jim Leonard. They're all very, very good men. I think they're all very good coaches. But they're not they weren't getting the Wisconsin Badgers in their respective programs, whether it was football or hockey, to a championship type of level.
Right.
The Badgers won the Big Ten championship a year ago. It's not a national championship. They're not where they were. The math says it. They're not where they were competing for national championships in the last couple of years of Bo Ryan's tenure. That's math. That's not an opinion. That's just fact. That's math. But I'm not ready to flush Greg Gard after one down season, after losing your two best players, having gone through this team what they've gone through, but having also won two out of the last three Big Ten Coach of the Year awards, having won two out of the last three Big Ten championships, or at least a share of them. And then in the 2020 season, they were the hottest team in college basketball going into the tournament that was canceled. Bill, I don't know what in the world you're talking about.
Yeah. And let's be honest here, the Wisconsin baseball team is undefeated since 1991. So
you're right. Oh,
there we go.
That's very true. All right, let's get to your fun fact with Dave here, Dave. Here we go.
All right.
Let's have some fun.
Fun facts with Dave. Here's a fun fact about the National Invitation Tournament, commonly known as the NIT. The Wisconsin Badgers have been in the NIT four times in their program's history: 1989, 1991, 1993, and the fantastic year that I was born, 1996. That's the last time.
Thanks for making me feel old, David.
You and probably a lot of other people.
And I wasn't even born yet in that year.
Stop it.
Anyway.
All right.
You're both old.
I'm like two of you. I'm like twice both of your ages.
Yeah, well, it's like Jim Boeheim, you know, obviously retired today. 47 years. That is mind-blowing. That really
incredible.
Is nuts.
That's an incredible run.
That is. Well, this has been a fun ride throughout the season. We'll see what kind of post-game shows may come. But, David, it's been a blast throughout this season. I know this has been obviously a year for Wisconsin basketball that it was, you know, in a way it was a rebuilding year. You know, we talk about rebuilding years in sports, and I really think, and I've thought this throughout the season, that all of these experiences that this team has went through this year will help them next year with everybody when everybody's eligible to come back, obviously, and we'll see if Tyler Wall does, and we'll see what transfers come in and out and all of that. But the good news is they've got a core that should be coming back, and they got a lot of good experience this year and hopefully some postseason play wherever that may be.
Absolutely. It's been a lot of fun. Sometimes the results have been frustrating, but we'll see what comes next.
Absolutely. And Doug, You've got Nebraska and Minnesota there. See if Minnesota can pull that upset. Enjoy the rest of your time in Chicago.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, we had Red Panda at halftime, so that was already good. That's worth the drive right there, despite what happened in game one with the Badgers and the Buckeyes. Minnesota up 50-39 with 15:50 left to play in this ball game that's been right in front of me. So, yeah, I've gotten a little bonus basketball while talking to you about game one tonight. So, yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Safe travels back. And once again, our final tonight, 65-57. The Ohio State Buckeyes beat the Wisconsin Badgers. For David Gasper and Doug Russell, I'm Hunter Baumgart saying thanks so much for listening tonight. AJ in the 608 says lacrosse has carried the program since Frank left. Any praise we can give to lacrosse, we are down
absolutely
for, right, David? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again to Doug Russell for joining us from the United Center and Dave Gasper as well. I'm Hunter Baumgart saying so long. Once again, your final score, Ohio State 65, Wisconsin 57. This has been the J&K Security Solutions postgame show.